الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم وقال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وقال تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وقال تعالى إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام بتسريسه درود شريف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. My most respected elders and brothers, being the auspicious and Mubarak month of Rabiul Awwal, it is only appropriate that we mention a few matters relating to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter discuss the topic that we may have seen, that we have circulated as a jamiat with regard to this matter of interfaith. Firstly, this month of Rabiul Awwal, we must know that it was the month of the birth, and it was also the Mubarak month of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both things happen in this same month. Allah Ta'ala chose this month of Rabiul Awwal for the birth of the most blessed of His creation, the most auspicious of His creation. And He also selected this month for him to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. So we can imagine the auspiciousness and the Mubarak month of this month of Rabiul Awwal. There is an ikhtilaf, there's a difference of opinion on the most authentic date. You can understand in those particular times, not like our time, modern time, you know you're born on this particular date, 27th of March or 10th of February or whatever your date of birth is, it was specifically noted. In those particular times it was not properly noted. They had significant years, and they used to say Amul Fil, you know, Amul Huzn, the year of the, you know, the occasion of the feel, where you know, the famous story that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib and Abraha came to destroy the Baytullah al-Haram. So that is called the year of the elephants, and the year of the elephant. So they used to recognize it. So there is no proper documented exact date, but through the historians, they know how to try to locate. And they know, and he was born on a Monday, etc. These things are noted in the ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on a day on Monday, and used to fast also on Thursday. So even he was asked, why you fast on Monday? He said, that's the day that I was born. So the day that he was born, he used to fast. Imagine the Nabi of Allah. So the exact date of birth and the date of demise, the date is not known correctly, 100%. Nobody can specifically say this is the date. But the month is specific. It is the month of Rabiul Awwal. So my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran with regards to this great ni'mat and bounty. Allah Ta'ala has given us innumerable bounties. So much so that Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran that if you want to make hisab and you want to count the blessings of Allah, you'll never be able to count it. It's impossible. And if you have to turn all the trees in the world, make it into pens, imagine how many pens you'll have. Just on one street, if there's so many trees, and you have to make pens out of those trees, how many will have, how many millions you'll have from that one street? Allah Ta'ala says that if you have to turn all the, you know, the trees, make them into pens, and all the ocean, and seven times more also of that. And you make that into ink. The people in the olden days, they used to put ink in a fountain pen. They used to call it a fountain pen. Or they used to have a pen and they used to dip it in the ink and then they used to write. And that used to last for years, 40, 50 years too, they used to have that pen. So they used to dip it in the ink and then they used to write, dip it again. Or sometime then they went a little bit more modern, they had a fountain pen. I also remember that because we used to use it in the school. You put the thing in the ink and then you pull. So that thing sucks up the ink. And then you write with it. So when as the ink is utilized, then that whole, it gets finished. The cartridge gets finished and you put it again and you pull it again. And you used to use that. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you make all the oceans into ink, then still to ma nafidat kalimatullah, you still will not be able to make hisab and you will not be able to count the blessing of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Allah Ta'ala, from those innumerable bounties that He has blessed us, He has specifically told us, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions the great ni'mat and the bounty of us being in the ummah or having sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this ummah. And we are so fortunate, we don't even realize and understand our maqam that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us by being in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How great, my dear brothers. The greatest of Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, Allah Ta'ala chose you and I to be in His ummah. What a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala upon us. And Allah Ta'ala blessed us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ponder for a little while, my dear brothers. Let us just ponder. We didn't choose to be in this ummah. We didn't even choose to be in the families that we are, or we are Muslim. Allah Ta'ala is such a great ni'mat and bounty upon us. We could have been born in a time of Musa alayhi salam, or Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, or wherever Allah Ta'ala so chose. He could have made us be born in that particular zamana, and that particular, under that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have put us in any family, He could have made us in any of His makhluk. It was not your right or my right that Allah Ta'ala made us insan. This is also a very great ni'mat and a bounty of Allah. We have to ponder over this, my dear brothers. Sometime you have to sit down quietly and reflect and think that Allah Ta'ala, if I had to be born in some Somalia, for example, what right did I have to be born in this particular family, for me to be born in this country, for me to be born in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So these are very great ni'mats and bounties. The manner in which a person appreciates his ni'mat and bounty, my dear brothers, is when he remembers the bounty. You have to ponder over it and reflect over it, and then you will realize this great ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala sent us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala then tells us and reminds us that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ لَقَدْ, in the Arabic language, lam and the word qad, it comes for emphasis. It comes for emphasis in the Arabic language. And where there is a tajdeed, then that is coming for emphasis. So Allah Ta'ala in this ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That most definitely in the pattern and in the way and in the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have a perfect example. So that means in every facet and aspect of our life, there is a very great blessing of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has given us an example. Has given us an example, and that example is in the pattern and life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find, ulama have written, that you will find that in his methodology, it is ashal. Ashal meaning it is the easiest way of doing something. It is ashal. Then it is akmal. It is the complete way of doing something. So whether you take the aspect of sleeping, or whether you take the aspect of waking up, or whether you take the aspect of relieving ourselves, or whether you take the aspect of interacting with anybody, or whether we take our entire life and we see whether from the time of birth through all the phases of life that we have to go through, whether it is marriage or whether it is parenthood or whatever it is, you will find the perfect example in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers, we have to take it upon ourselves that we have to learn these examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and together with learning it, we have to make a niyat and make a firm commitment and intention to make amal on it. If you make a firm intention of learning it, and then we make a firm intention of making amal on it, my dear brothers, then my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us, and we will enjoy the benefit of it being the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then my dear brothers, it is become an act of ibadat. It becomes an act of ibadat. Two people sleep, one sleeps in his normal way, just falls off to sleep in a normal manner. But there's one way of sleeping, is to sleep in a pattern and in a method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both of them are very far apart. Both of them are sleeping. They engage in the same act of sleeping. But one, my dear brothers, he gets no reward for it. Whereas the other person, my dear brothers, he is coming very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because having followed the sunnat method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have too much time to elaborate, but in a similar way, I just give you the example of sleeping. My dear brothers, we can elaborate and say that in every aspect of our life, the very same rules apply, the same method apply, or the same principle applies. And that is a principle that there are many ways of doing something, but the best way and the easiest way and the most exemplary way, the way that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is our duty to learn that method, whether we are business people or whatever work and sphere of life we are involved in. My dear brothers, we have to learn that method, we have to implement it in our life, and we have to earn that reward. That person who sleeps according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a simple example of sleeping, but it goes on and on and on with every aspect of our life. The same principle will apply. My dear brothers, he gets ibadat for that 8 hours he's sleeping. He gets ibadat for the 8 hours he's sleeping. You made wuzu and you slept. You made niyat of tahajjud. You dusted your bed. You slept on the right hand side. You're facing the qibla and you are sleeping. All these various aspects that a person does before he goes to bed, my dear brothers, it is an act of ibadat. For his sleeping is getting ibadat. If he's conducting his business in that particular manner, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted his business. There are so many ulama have written fazail of tijarat, the virtues of business, how business must be conducted. Now if we follow those things, show the article to the person, don't exaggerate it too much, if there's any fault in that article, then you have to show that fault that is in that article. And in these various ways that a person does business, my dear brothers, then it becomes an act of ibadat. So whilst you are earning a profit, you are also earning a profit for the hereafter. My dear brothers, we are living in challenging times, very challenging times. And the preservation of our iman, my dear brothers, is a foremost in these challenging times that we are living in. We have to be very, very cautious, very, very, my dear brothers, very, very careful how we, tread the path. We are living in a non-Muslim country. We are, what we say, in a minority country. Right, so, ulama have written books on how a Muslim person has to conduct himself in a non-Muslim environment. So, we are living in a country where we have more non-Muslims than Muslims, so we are a minority. Some people say we are about 2%, 2.5% maybe, if you add the foreigners and all that, if you have to add them, then maybe we are 3% of the entire population of South Africa, maybe Muslims are 3%. That means 3 people out of every 100 people is a Muslim. So our population is very, very small, minute, only like a speck. But my dear brothers, the impact of our Muslims in this country is, we are very impactful. Alhamdulillah, this is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my dear brothers, the question arises and comes that as Muslims, How do we have to conduct ourselves in regards to our relationship with non-Muslims that we are interacting with? Obviously, we have to interact with them. Am I correct? We are working, we got businesses, we got non-Muslims working for us. Or we don't have businesses, we are working for some non-Muslim people. We are living in a country where our neighbors might be non-Muslim. Now somebody dies in their home, what is my duty as a Muslim? Must I go there? Must I offer my condolence to them? Should I assist them? Somebody might have some hadsa, some type of a calamity might fall, his whole house got burnt. He's a non-Muslim person living on my street, for example. Or he might even be my neighbor. He might be even the person who is my tenant. He's a non-Muslim person. Many people have these questions in their mind. And my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala give jaza'i khair to our fuqaha of the ummah. My dear brothers, they have broken it down for us. We don't understand the contribution of this fuqaha and how they have made it easy for you and I to live. They have written a whole kitabs over this year, there's fiqh rules, there's jurisprudential rules regarding how a person is supposed to be conducting himself. So the khulasa, my dear brothers, if you take the whole situation and we sum it up, you know, we say, hey, you know, I'd leave the long story, just tell me in the end how much money I'm going to get. You know, when you're discussing inheritance, for example, so now you have to explain to somebody that if that person is alive and this person, so the person will say, listen, hey, don't give me all the long stories. We have become like this. Just give me the khulasa. What is the end result of the story? Am I getting any inheritance or I'm not getting inheritance? What's the story? Tell me that. I'm more interested in that. So people have become, my dear brothers, we have become people who are, you know, we want instant gratification. Instantly, you have a cell phone or you're at your home and you got that Wi-Fi thing. And if that thing is slow, we get irritated. Your son will complain, hey, Papa, this thing is too slow, man. It's only 5 megabytes. I need something that's 60 megabytes. We want instant gratification. We want some things to happen instantly, instantaneously. That's the type of people we have become. So you get an article, now we become so lazy, we won't even read the whole thing. We'll say, okay, just tell me what's the khulasa of it. So the khulasa of this whole thing, my dear brothers, what the ulama have written about this, is that mu'alat, where a person has love, and he is, you know, has affection in his heart, and he has this, you know, this closeness, and he's very close with a non-Muslim person, where he has a lot of love for him, this emotion of love and affection for him, this is not permissible in Islam. This is something that Allah Ta'ala categorically, you know, negates and tells us that this is something that is not permissible. So we have to be very careful that how we conduct ourselves in the sense of where, in our actions, where we end up, you know, having so much of love for a kafir person in our heart, that person who is against the laws, orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hasn't recognized Allah ta'ala, he hasn't recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we cannot have love and affection for that particular person in our heart. Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu la tattakhidul kafirina awliya'a min dunil mu'minin. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran that you cannot make them your bosom, you know, so much of love and affection. But everything else, my dear brothers, where the fuqaha have explained it to us, I'm not going to go into all the terminologies, you get muasat and you get muamalat and all these various terminologies, but the khulasa is that it is our responsibility, my dear brothers, that we show them concern, we show them, we interact with them to a level and degree of where we have sympathy for them, or we have good akhlaq with them, we interact with them to a level of where we are just with them in our dealings with them, etc. This, my dear brothers, is very, very important. Allah Ta'ala will not take us to task only if we are, for example, we have taken up the rights of a Muslim person. No. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, my dear brothers, there is justice. So some person will say, no, I'm owing that person 100,000 rand, he's not a Muslim now, so I'm not worried about it. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, if somebody passes away and a non-Muslim person comes and he say, oh, I had a business dealing with that particular businessman, he owes us, or he owes our business an X amount of money, that money will be taken out from the assets of the deceased and it has to be given to that person from whom he borrowed that money or who is owing that money to, even though he may be a non-Muslim person. Yeah, sometimes we have this misunderstanding. No, no, this person is my neighbor, he's not a Muslim, so I don't worry, you know. I don't worry about it. No. Being a non-Muslim person who's our neighbor, we have to be even more cautious that we are conducting ourselves in an appropriate manner as being a Muslim. One non-Muslim lady phoned us. Her son phoned us from London in the Jamiat office. He phoned us. So he said that my mother is the neighbor of this one musalla here in Durban. She's a neighbor. Now she stays on the top and the road goes from down and top, but her entrance is on the other road. You'll understand what I'm saying? So she got a separate entrance. Her back window now is facing the bottom. All her section is there. That's part of her land. So now he's asking me that in Islam, is it like allowed, like, you know, even if it's for parking purposes, they leveled the land and they wanted to use the land for parking purposes for a musalla. And without the consent and permission of my mother, they went and leveled the land. And then they started parking cars. So one day when she woke up there in the morning, elderly lady, she was staying alone. Everything was cleared out and they went and put everything so the cars can park easily there. So we are thinking that we're doing a very good thing. I mean, we are cleaning up the property, because when we phoned the person to say, hey, what are you all doing here? You never phoned that lady. She woke up in the morning. Now her son is phoning from London. He's saying, my mother lives alone. They just came and parked the car, started using it as a parking. Nobody asked us any permission, etc. So my point being, my dear brothers, even though they may be non-Muslim people, even though they will not be using that land, but as Muslim, my dear brothers, what is our duty and responsibility? What is our akhlaq? And then he's telling me also that, you know, a few of them went and sat with my mother, and told her that, Ma, this is what we are doing. We are going to clean the place up. There's a very lot of bushes there. People are getting stabbed and all that there. So we're going to clean the place out and we're going to use it as parking. I don't think she would have refused. But here, they just went and did the thing on their own. Now I had to phone and try to, you know, normalize the thing and get the things, you know, normalized and get permission for them to utilize it as parking. So his question to me was, is it allowed in Islam for somebody to just do something like this? My point being, my dear brothers, that we as Muslims have to be very, very careful. Similarly, my dear brothers, we have to be very cautious that whilst we are living in a non-Muslim environment, a non-Muslim country, so to say, then there are lots of activities, there are lots of religious activities that we may get invited for. And then now, you know, should we participate in it or not? What should we be doing, my dear brothers, in that particular circumstances? So my dear brothers, we have to be very, very cautious, because I said in the beginning that for us to preserve our deen and our Islam, that is our focus, to preserve this iman, this very great ni'mat and bounty Allah has blessed you and I with. My dear brothers, we have to see and ensure that it is preserved. How a person preserves something that is very valuable. Valuable things, you don't just leave lying around. You'll scold your daughter, you'll scold your wife, why are you just leaving this thing here like this? This is so expensive and you've got no care for it. Lock it up nicely, keep it safely. More important than all the material things that we have, my dear brothers, is this iman that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. We must ensure that we don't do anything that will, my dear brothers, take away this iman that we have, or make us lose our iman and all our amal, my dear brothers. Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us. Sometimes we may get invited to a church, for example. We get invited to Hindu mandir, or we get invited to participate in some religious activity of some non-Muslim people. We are not allowed to do this. There is no compromise in Islam, my dear brothers. Inna deena inda Allah in Islam. The most accepted, or the accepted deen, inna, again the word inna for emphasis, inna deen, most definitely the deen, the way of life, inna Allah, that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the way of Islam. Everything else, my dear brothers, becomes secondary. I'm going to quickly finish off with one waqiyah, which will make you understand, my dear brothers, the significance and the importance of this particular, how we need to preserve ourselves. from the Sahaba, Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam was a very important Sahabi. He was also a alim of the Jews. So he was very, very learned. He knew the books of the Jews as well. He was an alim. And Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a long life, how he accepted Islam, etc. We must read that story. But the point being that being an alim of the Jewish deen, etc., he knew that the Sabbath, the Saturday, was like significant in the Jewish laws. And they were not allowed to eat camel meat. So they were not allowed to eat camel meat, and it was Sabbath. But he had accepted Islam, and there were other people, other rabbis and all, who had also accepted Islam. So now they decided in their mind, let's see, we are now Muslim, we are going to follow the deen of Islam. But nothing negates us from, abstaining from eating camel meat on Saturday. Islam doesn't say that you must eat camel meat on Saturday. And this Islam is silent, whatever meat you eat, as long as it is halal. Islam doesn't say that you must eat, camel meat on a Saturday. So now, what we will do is, we are Muslim, we are going to follow Islam, but on Saturday we will just abstain, or we'll be following an Abrahamic law of where, abstention from the eating of camel meat on Saturday, we'll also not eat in, but we won't be violating the laws of Islam, because Islam is not compelling us to eat the food on Saturday. My dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala revealed these ayats of the Quran. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum. No, what was that ayat that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran? That Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fis-silmi kafa. Enter into the fold of Islam completely. Wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Don't let shaitan put all these ideas in our mind and in our hearts and in your hearts and faith. But everything, my dear brothers, has to be done according to what are teachings of Allah, what is the teachings of Rasulullah, according to the law of Allah, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the Sahabi, such a great Sahabi, these ayat were revealed, that don't think that you're going to follow, Islam also, and you'll make, the Abrahamic law, in the sense that Musa alayhi salam's law, that where the camel meat of eating it on Saturday was prohibited. You cannot do that. You have to follow the deen of Islam in its entirety. Allah Ta'ala give us a true understanding of our deen, and make it such, my dear brothers, that we safeguard and preserve our deen wherever we are, wherever we go. We are the models of Islam, my dear brothers. Wherever we go, wherever we conduct ourselves, we are a model. People will identify us as a Muslim, and they find out this is the character of a Muslim. Let us, my dear brothers, become an example, a good example for people to come into the deen of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.